Judge Judy sees cases like this every day.
We made no contract.
Oh, yes, you did.
We made no contract.
Oh, yes, you did.
But she's never seen anyone like her.
She's not telling you the true story.
Neither are you.
Oh, yes, I definitely am.
Shh.
It's my van. What do I have to lie for?
I didn't ask you a question. Neither is Wilson.
Okay.
Pay careful attention to me, madam.
Judge Judy.
If you speak again when I'm not talking to you, I'm dismissing your claim.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinman. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is her courtroom. This is Judge Judy. 47-year-old credit consultant Lisi Wilson is suing former family friend, 29-year-old peace officer Darlene Harris, for stealing her minivan. Darlene says Lisi sold her the vehicle. She is countersuing for the money she's already paid.
Order. All rise. Now, this is case number 595 on the calendar in the matter of Wilson versus Harris. Parties have been sworn in, Judge. You may be seated. Folks, have seats, please.
Ms. Wilson, you and the defendant knew each other, and according to your complaint, you had a van, an old van. The defendant wanted to purchase the van. You agreed to sell her the van for $3,000. That was almost a year ago. Is that right?
I told her I was possibly considering selling her the van.
And I want you to listen to my question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start again.
Okay.
You had a van. Mm-hmm. You wanted to sell the van. She wanted to buy the van. You agreed to sell her the van for $3,000, and that was almost a year ago.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
She gave you a $300 deposit. Is that right?
Yes, she did.
And you let her take the van?
She picked the van up from the towing company where I had the van towed, and she said she was going to go and check the van out to see if it would start up. Well, she went to the towing company.
Picked up the van. That was almost a year ago.
That's right.
And then, according to your complaint, you got a call from your son?
I had been talking back and forth with my son about him possibly having the van because he went in the Navy, he finished basic, and he told
me... Your son wanted the van?
Yes, my son wanted the van.
So you called the defendant and told her you changed your mind?
Yes, I did.
When did you call her and tell her you changed your mind?
After she picked the van up, and I'd also told her all along that my son wanted the van.
Miss Wilson, mm-hmm. Listen to me. You agreed to sell her the van. You took $300 deposit from her. She was supposed to pay you the rest of the money, I'm sure, at some time. I will ask you that later. Don't mess around with me. After that, you got a call from your son saying he wanted the van, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you called her and said, I changed my mind. I don't want to sell you the van. Now you can tell me what happened after that.
Darlene told me that before she gave me the van back, she would chop it up, and that she refused to give it back. And then after that, she spoke to Mr. Leach. I had him call her.
Who's Mr.
He's
Leach?
A witness right here. I had him call her on the telephone. And he called her and told her that we wanted the van back. My son was in Oklahoma. There are no sidewalks there close to the Navy post, and that he needed the van for transportation. Well, she told Mr. Leach that he could come and pick the van up numerous amount of times, but she never told him where to pick the van up. She refused to tell him where to pick
the van
up.
Well, first of all, Ms. Wilson, let me explain to you. You sold her the van. You understand? You made a contract with her. Sell her the van.
We made no contract.
Oh, yes, you did.
We made no contract.
Oh, yes, you did. No, you don't understand. You think a contract has to be in writing? It doesn't have to be in writing. It can be an oral contract. All you have to have is an oral contract. Is you have to have an offer. The offer was $3,000 for the van. You have to have acceptance. You accepted the $3,000. You have to do something that makes the contract move forward, which was she gave you a deposit for the van. And that completed the contract if she fulfills her end of the bargain. Do you understand? That's a contract. It doesn't have to be in writing. Only certain contracts have to be in writing. This contract does not necessarily have to be in writing, except for signing off on the title. So you couldn't at that point change your mind. Do you understand? You had no right to say, I want to change my mind and sell the van to my son.
Judge Shindlin, the check
Shindlin.
That she wrote, Shindlin, excuse me, the check that she wrote out to me was not even made out to Lisi Wilson. It was made out to her wife, Joanne, and
did
for
you cash
deposit
the check?
Only.
Did you
I put it in the account and I told her I would give her her money back at
just
any
a,
time.
Just a sec. Did you deposit the check?
Yes, I did
then
to see
once
if it was legitimate.
Then once she gave you the check and you deposited, the contract was complete. Do you understand that? If you didn't understand that, I'm explaining it to you now. The contract to sell her the van was complete. At the time, you accepted her check, and you cannot... Let me give you another example. Let's say you go into a car dealership, and you and the car salesman discuss a price for a used car. Mm-hmm. And you come to terms on the price for a used car. And you give them a deposit. Mm-hmm. And an hour later, somebody else comes in and says to the dealer, I'll give you an, to this car salesman, I'll give you an extra $1,000 for that car.
He says, huh?
Just made myself an extra $1,000. I'm going to call Miss Wilson and tell her she can't have this car because I just sold it to somebody else. How would you feel?
Well, in that case, I would feel bad, but she did not even give me the full initial
just
deposit.
Just a second. I'm just asking you. Don't say she. I'm asking you. Mm-hmm. There's no difference between this car salesman who is selling a car at an additional profit and you who changed your mind because your son wanted the car. There's no difference. So you could not change your mind at that point. However, you didn't finish paying for the car, right?
That's not true.
Really? You did finish paying for it.
What happened was...
Answer my question and then I'll let you talk. Did you finish paying for the van?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Why not?
What happened was...
And make sure, listen to me, Ms.
Yes.
Harris.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to make very sure of one thing. Don't give me a story that doesn't make sense.
Oh.
Because I will cut the legs off a story that doesn't make sense and make you look very, very foolish. And
okay.
At this time of the day, I don't really want to do that. Do you understand? So I don't want to hear any baloney that you parked the van someplace, it got stolen, you don't know where it is. I don't, because that's what I'm listening to in this answer that you filed. I don't want to hear any of that baloney.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Lisi Wilson says former family friend Darlene Harris stole her minivan. Darlene says Lisi sold her the vehicle and then changed her mind.
Go ahead.
First of all, the initial price of the van was not $3,000.
It was how much?
It was $500. The van was not in working condition.
How old was the van?
It was a 93, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Her son had crashed the van on where I work. He had crashed it on the seawall, so it wasn't working. Something was wrong with the transmission. So she was going to junk the van. She just wanted to get rid of the van. She told me, I asked her about it. I says, so whatever happened with the van? She goes, well, I want to get rid of it. I just want to sell it now. So I said, well, how much would you sell it to me for? She says, $500. I says, okay, well, I can give you $300 and then I'll give you $200 when you give me the paperwork. Okay, so I gave her a check for $300, which she cashed 2 days later. It was a few days after that I asked her for the paperwork. I says, I have your $200, the rest of the payment. I just need the registration, I need the title so that I can register the vehicle. She was missing a plate, one plate already. And in New York, as you know, if you have only one plate on it, you get tickets. It did start to collect tickets, but I was in constant contact with her son, her oldest son. And I told him, let your mom know that it's getting summonses on the vehicle. It's parked in front of my house. Her son has been to my house. He has done parties for me. He's a DJ. He has done parties for me. They know where I live. Okay, I said, tell your mom that, you know, come pick up. She's right. I did speak to her kid's godfather, and he wanted to pick up the van, and I told him it's not a problem. Just bring the money. Every time I asked her about the $300, she says, I'm not, you know, oh, first she says, the money didn't clear. It never cleared in her bank. Mind you, according to this.
No, right.
It cleared 2 days.
It cleared.
After. But she said it never cleared. She says, I don't know what kind of check that was because it wasn't written out from you.
Right.
But she says, it's not going to clear because it's a third-party check and my bank doesn't take those. And so she's told me she never got the money. I didn't know at that point that she did get the money because this was written for my grandfather's bank.
Just a second. You cashed the check or you deposited the check. It's the same thing. Why didn't you give her back the money?
I told her at any time I would give her $300 back. I told her previously, before that, she visited my house, she knew my kids, that my son wanted the car, even before she expressed that she was interested in buying it.
Miss Wilson, you're talking apples and oranges. I said to her, why didn't you give her back the money?
I told her I would give it to her anytime. She refused the money. And then she told me that she didn't know where my van was. The tickets were paid on the van.
What happened to the van?
The tickets were paid on the van.
Show me proof.
No.
Show me, just a second. Show me proof that you paid all the tickets on the van.
I don't have that right now.
What do you mean? If you don't have it right now, when do you expect
to have
it?
I didn't think she would bring this into it. The tickets has nothing to do with her stealing my van.
Just a second.
Taking my van without paying me for it.
First of all, I believe her when she says that the purchase price was not $3,000. That's understandable.
Who would sell a van of this year that I just bought 6 months before that, which I have a receipt for $500?
Just a second. Listen to me. The van that you sold her was in the towing company because it wasn't running.
Wait a minute. The part that was put on it cost $40.
Listen to me.
That doesn't mean that the van was... And we went to the towing company to pick it up.
Listen to me very, very carefully. If you have a car that's not running and all it needs is... Miss Wilson,
okay.
Pay careful attention to me, madam.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a car that's not running and it needs a $40 part, you don't have a towing company come and pick it up. I'd bring it to a towing company.
Oh, the reason why it was towed is because my son had had the accident, so they took it as evidence to the towing company. But she told me that the part, I know the part cost $40, but listen to this. When we went to pick the van up, she took me there in my car, in her friend's car, and the car was running. And then she says, wait a minute, I think it needs a part to get it away from me.
No, she's right.
Okay. And then
she's
she took it the car. Yeah, and then all of a sudden she takes the car to the Bronx. Then I get this check made out to her wife.
Listen to me.
Mm-hmm. She's not telling you the true story.
Listen to me, neither are you.
Oh, yes, I definitely am.
No, neither are you.
I am telling the truth. It's my van, what do I have to lie for?
Where's her van, was it towed?
Because I don't have any paperwork. I didn't have any paperwork. I couldn't even run the plates on it because I didn't have the VIN number on it to even see who had it, whether the marshals had it, whether the city sheriff's. I don't know.
When was it taken off the street?
It stayed on the street until November.
Stayed for 6 months. Now, Ms. Wilson, my next question to you is, within that six-month period, what did you do to try to get back your van?
I had Mr. Leach call her, who is a community advocate, to try and come between and talk to her about giving me my van back. And she kept giving him stories off and on.
Just a second.
You can pick the van
up. Just a second.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just go and get it if it was on the street?
Well, she's telling you a story that my son DJed for her like he knew her so well.
Listen to me.
She would not give us the address to go and pick it up.
True.
She says, come and pick it up. And she never gave anybody. Here's a witness right here, Your Honor. That she said, come and pick the van up. She says, I'm going along with everything. Everything is fine. You can have your van back. I don't want your van. Have someone pick it up. I said, okay, Mr. Leach, you call her on the telephone.
Mr. Leach, step up here,
Mr.
please.
Mr. Leach, would you step
Mr.
up,
Leach,
please?
And what's your... Sir, listen to me carefully. Miss Wilson.
Yeah.
I would like you to give me the months that you called the defendant with regard to this van.
Your Honor, I got a call somewhere around August, around maybe the beginning of August, somewhere around there, because Ms. Wilson doesn't have a driver's license. And to try to resolve it, I spoke to the defendant, Ms. Harris, to try to make arrangements to go pick it up. Well, she said, okay, you can come and pick up the vehicle. I says, okay, well, we'll pick it up the Wednesday or something. But something came up that I couldn't go and she couldn't meet.
Just a second.
Yeah.
She said, come and pick it up.
Yes.
So the next question that an intelligent person would ask, and you sound like an intelligent person, sir, is where do I go to pick it up?
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. I wasn't given a location.
Just a second.
Okay.
You knew where she lived.
No, I didn't.
Well, you had a telephone number. You spoke to her on the phone.
I was speaking on
You spoke
on her,
to her on
the cell phone.
Number.
Cell phone.
Okay.
Cell number. Sure.
Okay. Now, the plaintiff's son knows the defendant.
But
don't
not as well
speak.
As she said she does.
I didn't ask you
for
a question other than your son knows the defendant.
Yes,
the answer
he does.
Is yes.
Yes, he does.
Oh, okay. So you know where she lives?
No, we don't.
If you speak again when I'm not talking to you, I'm dismissing your claim. That's the rule, Ms. Wilson. Do you understand? That's My ruling, the next time you speak out without my addressing a question to you, I am dismissing your claim. Is that clear?
Yes, it is.
Perfect. When you spoke to her, sir, and I want you to listen to me very carefully, you first said you spoke to her the beginning of August, and you said, I'm going to come and pick up the van. And then you said something came up and I couldn't go. Is that right?
Correct.
So you must have known where to go, sir. If something came up and you said, I couldn't go, you're an intelligent person, Mr. Leach. Don't mess with me.
Yes. I was advised by the defendant that my godson knows where she lives.
Okay. Fine.
Then we made another arrangement.
Just a second.
Sure, okay.
So he knows where she lives, and that's where the van was, is that right?
Correct.
So then we don't have an issue as to where she lives and you didn't know where to go.
Okay.
When was the next time you called her?
It probably was about Friday. And I'd asked my godson, do you know where she lives? He goes, I've only been there one time. I'm not sure exactly. I don't know the number or whatever.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
For a minute, Mr.
But I'm just saying that's exactly what happened.
I don't believe that. For a second. But you made another appointment.
All right. We made another arrangement. This time she couldn't keep the appointment.
When was that?
It was probably the following Friday.
Okay. So that you remember.
Right.
Good. And what happened?
And at that point, she wasn't able to make it, and I had nothing to do with it after that. That was finished. I had nothing else to do with it.
So now my question comes back to, you have the paperwork on this van, Miss Wilson. So you have the title, you have the registration. The defendant does not. Between August and November, when she says the van was towed, why didn't you take another key? And if, don't tell me you didn't have another key, because if you didn't have another key, you take a locksmith with you. They go in, you say, this is my van, here's my papers. I lost my key, you take the van and go.
Your Honor,
she sues you for $300 for the deposit.
Your Honor, the reason why I didn't do that is because I asked my son for the address. Since they never gave, both of them spoke to Mr. Leach. Neither one of them would give him the address, but they kept on saying, come and get it, come and get it. Like, where is he supposed to get it from? My son said he does not remember her address. He knows she lives in the Bronx.
Can I tell you why her son said that?
Maybe he took the van.
And I'm really going to get him in trouble right now. But her son, both her sons, her oldest son and her middle child, both said the reason why we won't tell our mother, even when she filed the small claims, they had the wrong address. They know my address. The reason why they didn't give her the address was because they said it was foul how my mom sold you the van and then wanted to take it back to give us to our younger brother who doesn't deserve it.
My sons know you're a thief.
I have no reason.
They
I'm an officer. I have
thief.
No reason to steal
and that's
a van. I have a car.
Why you should have bought
ma'am,
it back.
Ma'am,
you're an officer.
I have a car.
Listen to me.
I have a car.
Just a second. Ms. Harris. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Ms. Harris. I don't really feel badly about doing this because I don't believe Ms. Wilson has a claim. But she just violated my rule, which was if I wasn't speaking to her, she was not supposed to speak. This is a courtroom. This is not her playground. So I do not believe that you owe her $3,000, which is what she's suing for, and you don't have the van. And she spoke when she was directed not to. Your case is dismissed. That's all.
She stole my van and refused to give it back.
It was just a bad deal that went sour.
She gets off scot-free, and I still don't have my van, and now she claims it's stolen.
The van had a window that was being held up by a string. It had dents all over the body. It would have ran me about $4,000 just to fix up the van.
Don't do business with family, friends, or security officers like her.
She took the money and claimed she didn't get the money and wanted her car back. I'm glad it's over.